Welcome everybody to Panetosherim today's Medish program. It's a tremendous bliss to be able to have the Rosh Hashiva, Yonatan Sacks, to give shiur. This week's shiur is sponsored by Michelle and Michael Schwartz and Jeff Nishmat's Chaya Sara Bas Harav Moshe Zazel and Bekavod Gadol Rav Sacks.
Okay, thank you. In Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Hey, you find a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding the obligation of tefillah. To what extent do we assume that the mitzvah of tefillah is min haTorah, or is it only a chiyuv derabanan? The Rambam assumes that there is a mitzvah midaraisa each and every day of davening. The Rambam is found as well in the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam writes that mitzvah saseh lehispalel dechol yom. And the Rambam disagrees and maintains that there is no obligation of davening on a daily basis. The simple understanding of the Rambam, if one engages in tefillah, that certainly is a fulfillment of avodah shebalev, but the obligation to daven regularly is only derabanan. The Ramban mentions perhaps there is a noted exception, the eis tzara. When a person finds himself in a very dire circumstance, the Ramban cites the pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha, al hatzar hatzorer eschem v'nizkartem, that perhaps then there is an obligation of tefillah. Even the Rambam that maintains that tefillah is indeed a mitzvah in HaTorah, the Rambam is clear that it's limited to once a day, each and every day. Minimal tefillah is considered to be sufficient. The obligation of Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, certainly that is only derabanan. And the Gemara Brachos and Daf Chaf Vav Madei cites two different possibilities, Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. What exactly is the source of Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv? Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina says it is based on Avos. Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv. The very beginning of Parshas Vayetse, yesterday's Kriya Satara, Vayitzka B'makom Vayalin Sham, is a reference to the Tefillah of Yaakov, Vinu, Tefillas Arvis. And the second possibility in the Gemara is that Tefillah is based on Hakravos HaKarbanos. Each morning, the Karbet Tamish HaShachar, and therefore Tefillah Shachris. In the afternoon, the Tamish HaBen Arbayim, Tefillas Mincha. At night, there is no carbon kavua, there is no fixed or set carbon that you offer at night, but nonetheless, avarim, upidarim, fats and limbs that were not yet offered during the day, they continue to burn at night, and that is the basis of tefillas arvis. So two very different possibilities, whether it is avos, or whether tefillas keneged tamidim tikne. That's the sugyan brachos and av chavav. When you get to the next daf, Chav Zayin, there you find a machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. What exactly is the nature of Tfilas Arvis? Is Tfilas Arvis a chova? Is it similar to Shachris and Mincha that is an imperative? Or do we assume that Tfilas Arvis is only a rishus? And the view of Rabbi Yeshua that we assume like Lahalacha is Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. Tosus points out in Brachos and Abchavav that Rishus does not mean it is absolutely discretionary, it is absolutely optional, take it or leave it, but rather it means, relatively speaking, Mariv does not have the same stringencies as Shachris and Mincha. What is somewhat unclear, the Gemara never describes explicitly why should one assume that Mariv is any different from Shachris and Mincha. If Shachris and Mincha is an absolute imperative, why should one assume that there is something different about Tfilas Arvis? So Rashi writes elsewhere. This Rashi is not found in Maseches Brachos, but Rashi writes in Shabbos and Daf Tes that the reason to treat Mariv differently is because Tfila is keneged Tamidim Tikne. It is based on Hakravos HaKarbanos. And when you look at the carbon, there is clearly a marked difference between Shachris Mincha as opposed to Mariv. When it comes to Shachris Mincha, there is a set, fixed carbon that's offered every morning and every night, every afternoon. That certainly is not true. When it comes to Mariv, there is no formal avoda and carbon balayla, but simply by extension, any carbon that was offered during the day can continue and burn at night, but certainly there's a marked difference between Laila as opposed to Yom. And therefore Rashi quite reasonably writes that on that basis, one could distinguish between Shachris and Mincha as opposed to Maariv. The Chiddush of Rashi is as follows. That, you know, when you look at those sugyas, Chavav, what is the source of Tefillah? And Chav Zayin, whether Tefillah service is Rashus or Chova, the Gemara never links these two issues. Somehow, according to Rashi, one would have thought that the Gemara should tell us, you know, the reason Tefillah service is Rashus is because of that earlier Machlokes as to whether it is based on Avos or whether it is based on Karbanos. Even furthermore, realize the Machlokes, whether Tefillah service is Rashus or Chova, is a Machlokes Tanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, in Rabbi Yeshua. The source of three tefillos a day is the Machlokes Amoraim, Rabbi Yotzer Bar Chenina and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Somewhat surprising then that the Machlokes Tanaim should be assuming one of the possibilities of the Machlokes Amoraim. And perhaps a glaring difficulty is the view of the Shi'iltos. When you look in Shi'iltoches, the Shita of Rabbi Chaigon writes that Tefillah service is Rishus, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, but as the source of Tefillah, the Shultos writes Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's seemingly no contradiction whatsoever to assume that Tefillah is Avos Tiknu, at the same time assume that Maariv is somewhat different than Shachris and Mincha. But no doubt it begs the question, why should that be? Why do we discriminate against the Tefillah of Yaakovinu? If Avram and Yitzchak constitutes a Tefillah Schova, why is that not true of Tefillah Arvis as well? So if you look in the Netziv in Shultos, the Netziv has the following comment, that when it comes to the Tefillah of Yaakovinu, the very beginning of Parshas Vayetze, the Torah doesn't really say Vayivka, that he engaged in Tefillah, but Vayivka Bamakom, Bamakom. Somehow it attributes the Tefillah of Yaakovinu to that place. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara writes in Chumash Daf Tzadi Aleph that Kimata L'Choron, when Yaakovinu reached the city of Choron, that Amar Efshar She'avarti, Amakom Shispal Avosa, Veni Lo Hispalalti. How is it possible that I passed through the city in which my father, my grandfather engaged in Tefillah and I did not do so? Therefore, Vayivka B'Makom Bez. It points out very simply that you get the impression from the Pasuk and from the Gemara that the Tefillah of Yaakovinu was attributed to a certain condition. Yaakovinu, since he found himself in a certain place, that was the reason that he engaged in Tefillah. You don't get the impression that this was the typical regular practice day in and day out. It was only because Kimata L'Choron. In which case, perhaps it is not a contradiction at all to cite that as the source, but to infer that this was not a regular chiyuv day in and day out, but rather there was something special about this circumstance, and hence Tefillah service is considered to be a rishus. Perhaps one could argue, based on what I mentioned just a few moments ago, the Ramban writes that the mitzvah of tefillah each and every day is not min haTorah. That is only a chiyuv drabanan. But with the noted possible exception of Eis Tzara, Al Hatzar Hatzorer Eschem. If that really is true, that the Eis Tzara, there is a chiyuv of tefillah, certainly when you look at the context, the condition of this tefillah of Yaakov, you know, undeniably, that was the Eis Tzara. Yaakov, you know, told to leave his homeland, to leave Eretz Yisrael, to go into Golos, Esav Achicha Meichsachem Achala Hargecha, being pursued, he is being threatened. In such a case, that clearly is a classic model for so many reasons of Eis Tzara. And therefore not surprising that at that moment Yaakov would engage in Tefillah. But that cannot necessarily serve as a broader model for an obligation of Tefillah each and every day. The fact that a person engages in a tefillah be'eis tzara is meaningful. That could be l'doros ha-mitzvah min ha-Torah. But you cannot necessarily glean from that that there is an obligation to daven regularly. And hence, no contradiction necessarily that there is a model of the tefillah balayla of Yaakov, you know, but nonetheless, tefillah service on a daily basis remains that which is a rishus. And one could suggest even a step further, that the tzara that Yaakov, you know, faced at this time perhaps gives rise to Tefillah Arvis, in the sense that There is something special about tefillah balayla. When it comes to Avram and Yitzchak, their tefillah was bayom. And when it comes to Yaakov, the tefillah is balayla. Laila, which is reminiscent of the choshech of Golus, the period of Hester Panim. And therefore the tefillah balayla, that is the tefillah which is be'es tzara. There's a comment the Meshechachma has in Breishis and Perak Menvav Pasuk Beis, that the Meshechachma writes that typically speaking when it comes to the Avos, they experience Nevuah Bayom, Bayom. And yet when it comes to Yaakov, you know, there the Torah tells us the Nevuah of Yaakov was Bimaros Halayla. Bimaros Halayla. Yaakov uniquely experienced Nevuah Balayla. And that no doubt is part of the message that in the Choshech of Golos, Yaakov was able to experience Nevuah, Hashras, Hashchina. And I would argue that that's reciprocal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to Yaakov Inu Balayla, in the Choshech of Golos, and therefore there is Nevuah, and Yaakov Inu is the one who establishes Tefillas Arvis, the Tefillah Balayla as well. You know, it's clear that one can carve and forge that relationship Bayom, in a time of Gilui Shechina. But the lesson of Yaakov Inu is even in the Choshech of Golos, the Maros Halayla, a person can experience Hashras Hashchina as well. And that is the unique message of Yaakov Inu. More than any other of the Avos, Yaakov Inu lived that life of a Golos experience. And nonetheless, he was Zochet to Nevuah, and nonetheless, he was the one who established Tfilas Arvis. The Meshechachma even writes that the challenge of Nevuah or Tfilah Balayla is to link into the time of Gilui Shechina. There is a Rashi in the very beginning of Sefer Yechezkel where Rashi raises the issue, can a person receive Nevuah in Chutz Laretz? In Chutz Laretz. And Rashi writes that yes, but with one caveat, and that is that the person was already a Navi in Eretz Yisrael. If one was tapped to be a Navi in Eretz Yisrael, then that Nevuah can continue. But a person will not experience Nevuah for the first time. The Tchilas HaNevuah will not be in Chutz Laretz. Chutz Laretz is meaningful as an expansion of the Gilui Shechina of Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, isn't that true even of Hakravas HaKarbanos? A person cannot offer a new Karban at night, but when a carbon is offered during the day, by extension, the varma padarm can continue to burn balayla. And that, Meshechachma writes, is a hashkafa, in the sense that in Golos, one is obligated to cling to the avoda in times of Gilui Shechina, and to maintain, and to be mitzapeh, the Yeshua. That was the greatness of Yaakov, you know, that tefillah which is balayla. And therefore, Yaakov, you know, experiences Nevuah, in Golos, Balayla, and Yaakov Inu is the one who serves as the basis of Tfilas Arvis. That is the uniqueness of Maros Halayla. I would just suggest going a step further. One perhaps could argue as follows. Undeniably, all of this is true. That in Golos, one can experience Nevuah. In Golos, one could experience Hashras Hashchina. In Golos, a person can reach out to Tfilah. But there is an important lesson, and that is that Golos experience of Maros Halayla, the Choshech of Golos, is not a permanent condition. That is a temporary state. And one is obligated to be Mitzapa of Yeshua. And perhaps that's exactly the reason that, as meaningful as Tefillah Balayla is, Tefillah Balayla will not be an enduring Chova, it is only a Rishus. Because after all, this is not the destiny of, this is not the ultimate vision of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore perhaps, not only is it not the stira, but precisely because that was the nature of the tefillah of Yaakov, you know, therefore, we will pass like Rabbi Yeshua, the tefillah service is only irishus. It's important, one has to recognize that, but one should never confuse this state of Golos, as replete as it is with Chasdei Hashem, that this is an idyllic, a permanent vision, a destiny of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore recognize that Tfilas Arvis is only considered to be a rishus. So the Gemara tells us this machlokes Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, whether Arvis is a chova, Arvis is a rishus. We paskin that Arvis indeed is a rishus. Tosus is bothered in Brachos and Daf Chavav that, you know, if a person doesn't daven Marid, doesn't the Gemara mention davening Tashlumin? Initial Shmonesse for Shachris? Or Tosus cites the Gemara Daf Lamed Amadeis that if a person forgets Yalav Yavo during Mariv and Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat the Shmonesse because Kiddush HaChodesh is only Bayom, and therefore the main Askar of Yalav Yavo is only Bayom, and therefore, minimally, one would be Yotzei, even if you failed to mention Yalav Yavo the night of Rosh Chodesh. Let's assume this wouldn't be Rosh Chodesh. Let's assume, for example, if you forget Yalav Yavo at night, you're obligated to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So Tosfos is so bothered. Why are you obligated to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei? Tfilas Arvis is only a Rishus. So here Tosfos writes the following, that Rishus does not mean optional. It doesn't mean that it's discretionary. But sometimes when you will contrast two different chiyuvim, you want to underscore that one is primary and one is secondary. One is more chomer, one is relatively kal, so therefore the Gemara at times will use the phrase of chova in Rishus in a relative, not in an absolute sense. And therefore one must daven Mariv, but it doesn't mean that it occupies the same status of Shachris and Minchat. Look, for example, at the Mishnah, Beitz and Aflam, above Mabez, there the Mishnah is explicit. There the Mishnah refers to that which is called a Rishus, and included in that category is Kedushin, and Yibum, and Chalitza. Now, so Rashi immediately comments, it doesn't mean these things are optional, these are mitzvahs. But Rashi points out, the Mishnah calls it a Rishus, Legabi Mitzvah Cheres, juxtaposed against other things that are mentioned in it, so which are categorical obligations, not so circumstantial. So Rashi already points out, even in Lashon HaMishnah, that's clear from Rishus. There's a comment of the Gaon, this is also the Eben Ezra in Parshas Bo, you know, the Gemara writes there's a difference between Achilas Matzah at the Lel Seder, as opposed to the balance of Pesach. The Lel Seder is a Chova, Mikam Ve'elech is a Rishus. What exactly does Rishus mean? No mitzvah whatsoever? So the Gaon comments, the Torah tells us, Shivas Yamim Matzos Tocheilo? You mean it's completely value neutral? Is that really the case? So the Gaon comments, no, that is not the case at all. It is a Kiyum Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah Kol Shiva, but it pales compared to the absolute obligation at the Seder at night, and therefore the Gemara will refer to the Lel Seder as a Chova and the balance of the days as being a Rishus. But Rishus does not necessarily mean that which is optional. What difference does it make as to whether Mariv is a Chova or whether Mariv is a Rishus? You hardly find differences in the Gemara. Tosfos writes, the difference is a more technical one, Legabe Mitzvah Acheres. What happens if a person is in an unusual circumstance and there's only an opportunity to perform one mitzvah and he's faced with Tfilas Arvis and another mitzvah? So if it's kind of a choice, A versus B, recognize that relatively speaking, Mariv is not as chomer as other mitzvahs, and therefore opt for the other mitzvah as opposed to Tfilas Arvis. That's what Tosfos writes. Nafka mitzvah, nafka mina, lagabe mitzvah acheres. Tosfos writes here, shehi overis, it's a mitzvah which is passing, and you won't be able to perform it at any other time. Tosfos writes elsewhere that no, even a mitzvah she eina overis. You have to choose between mitzvah and mitzvah. Very unlikely circumstance. So recognize that Mariv pales. Okay. Any other differences between Shachris and Mincha versus Mariv? So the Rambam writes several possibilities. The Rambam, interestingly, is bothered in Peret Gimel of Hilchos Tefillah that the practice is, and the practice was, to daven Mariv early. Now that's the Gemara Brachos Nav Chav Zayin, that Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos, that Rav used to daven early on Lel Shabbos. On what basis did Rav do so? So Rashi writes, well, because by davening early you accept upon yourself Shabbos, and Kabbalah Shabbos allows one to go ahead and do daven Mariv. You know, the Rambam does not explain it that way. We've discussed in earlier Shiurim, it's not coincidental that the Rambam does not write that, because the Rambam does not have a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam only has a mitzvah beginning Yom Kippur early, not a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. And if that's true, the Rambam is going to have to explain the allowance of Daven by earlier in a different way. So when you look in the Rambam at Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tefillah, you know what? The Rambam doesn't limit it to Lel Shabbos. The Rambam writes that if need be, you could daven early on Motzei Shabbos as well. In other words, it's not limited to Shabbos. On what basis then do you have a right to daven early? After all, we don't necessarily allow this when it comes to other tefillos. The Rambam writes because tefillos arvis rishus ein medaktik in bizmana. That's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. Because marvis rishus, the allowance to daven early. When the Rambam explains in Perek Tes at Hilchos Tefillah, why is there no chazaras hashatz when it comes to Maariv? The Rambam explains it's because tefillah service is only a rishus. When it comes to tefillah chova, that yes, there we establish that there is a chazaras hashatz, but there was no takan of a tefillah satsim before a tefillah rishus. And therefore the Rambam writes that there are differences, that you can daven early, the case of chazaras hashatz, because tefillah service is rishus in the daktik in this manner. This is a twofold chiddush in the Rambam. Number one is the halach of the Rambam, that since tefillah service is rishus, no chazar sashat, you can daven early and the like. But there's another chiddush, because when you look in the Rambam at Perek Aleph Halach of Vav of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes tefillah service seemingly was a rishus. Is that really true for us today? The tefillah service is discretionary. Take it or leave it. If you want, yes, and if not, not. Is that really the case? But Rambam writes, of course not. The Gaonim already write the Bahag Kvar Shavi Ole Kachova. But we've already established Maariv as a tefillah chova, and that's exactly what the Rambam writes in Aleph Vav Hilchos Tefillah, that Kvar Nogu Kol Yisrael B'chom B'Kamosh Moshvoseihem, that this is a universal practice throughout our history to daven Maariv, and therefore it is no longer exactly as Rabbi Yeshua said tefillah service rishus. So you know, it's somewhat surprising then that the Rambam should have differences between Shachris and Mincha as opposed to Maariv. You kind of would have expected that the Rambam should say, you know what, these were differences between Maariv and other tefillos, but they are no longer differences because Shavu Lekachovo. And yet the Rambam does not say that. The Rambam writes, interestingly, that even though Shavu Lekachovo, but nonetheless there are differences between Shachris and Mincha on the one hand as opposed to Maariv. How exactly do you understand this? So there is another Rambam. The Rambam has another fascinating difference between Maariv as opposed to Shachris and Mincha. The Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Vav at Hilchos Tefillah discusses the following based on Gemara Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph. A person is in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden Nizkar Shekvar Hispalo. He just realizes he already davened. No? Boys in yeshiva Friday afternoon, he davens in yeshiva Mincha Gedola. He comes home for Shabbos, all of a sudden in the middle he finds out he already davened Mincha, and he's in the middle of Mincha right in Shul. So what exactly do you do? No? So the Rambam writes that posek afilu b'emtza bracha. Stop. No? You have no right to continue. That's the psak of the Rambam. A person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, Nizkar Shekvar Hispalel, posek. What exactly is the chiddush of the Rambam Shita, the book? You're obligated to daven a tefillas chova. You always have a right to daven a tefillas nedava, but you cannot daven a Shemoneh Esrei, half of which is chova and half of which is nedava. You want to daven a tefillas nedava, fine. But if you begin the Shemoneh Esrei without realizing already daven, and therefore your mindset is this is a tefillas chova, you cannot shift gears and create a tefillah half of which was adaita dechova and half of which is adaita dinadava. That is not going to work. And therefore the Rambam writes, you have no choice but to stop midstream. The Rambam writes a chiddush. There is an exception. In the middle of Maariv, and all of a sudden, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you realize you daven Maariv already. You daven Maariv already. I would have expected the Rambam should say, stop. Rambam says no. Here you have a right to continue. what right to continue? Nizkar Shekvar Hispalo. The Rambam writes, yeah, good, but even when you began, you only began Adaita Dinadava because Tfilos Avis is a Rishus. And therefore, seamlessly, you can transition. Even though your mindset was you didn't daven Marav yet, but nonetheless, Marav is a Rishus. So you began as a Tfilas Rishus, you have right to continue as a Tfilas Rishus. That's not called Min B'Shein Amino. That's a seamless Shmon Esrei. So, halacha, one of the Rambam is the basic halacha. Shachris Amincha, stop. Halacha number two of the Rambam is the exception of Marav, where you have right to continue. And somewhat unclear, the Ravid is Masik. There in Perikir Halacha Vav, the Ravid has four words, right? Ein kan nachas ruach. I'm not pleased by this Rambam. No? Hard to know. The Rambam had two halves, no? A rule and an exception. A rule of Posek and an exception of Mariv. Then the Ravid writes, I disagree. Disagree with what exactly? No? You disagree with the rule? You disagree with the exception? So the Kesev Mishnah writes that the Ravid is disagreeing with the exception. According to the Ravid, what the Rambam writes of Shachris Mincha stop is even true when it comes to Mariv. You have to stop. The Ravid is disagreeing with that second half, the exception of Mariv. Why should the Ravid disagree? Because the Kesev Mishnah writes Kvar Shaviola Kecholva. What do you mean? That the Rambam himself writes that we treat Mariv as a Tfilas Cholva. And therefore, what is true of Shachris Mincha should be true of Mariv as well. Interesting chiddush. That's the Kesev Mishnah. What is the machlokis then between the Rambam and the Ravid? So Rav Chaim explains as follows. This is a classic Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim writes the following. What exactly is the difference between a Tfilas Cholva as opposed to a Tfilas Nedava? What exactly is the difference between them? Is it halach in the chepta shel tefila, the very fabric, the very composition, the nature, the makeup of the tefilos are distinct? Inherently, one cannot compare a tefilas chova to a tefilas nedava. Just like inherently, there's a major difference between a carbon chova as opposed to a carbon nedava. Or could one argue, what do you mean? The tefilos are identical. The words are exactly the same. The difference between chova versus nadava is in terms of the gavra. A tfilas chova I must, a tfilas nadava I may. But everything is from the perspective of the individual. The tfilos inherently. Why in the world is there any difference between one versus the other? They're literally identical. Word by word, it is exactly the same. Shmoneh Esrei. Rav Chaim suggests that clearly, according to the Rambam, the difference between chov and nedava is inherent. It's halacha in chepta shel tefila. Just like there's an inherent difference between a carbon chova and a carbon nedava, there's an inherent difference between a tefilas chova and a tefilas nedava. In fact, that's exactly why the Rambam writes that if nizkar shekvar hispalel, you can't just continue. What do you mean continue? You're continuing as a tefilas nedava? What's wrong with mixing and matching? Half of chova, half of nedava. You know, if chova and nedava were identical, the only difference is one I must, one I may, what's wrong with continuing? What's wrong with transitioning? But if you're going to argue that this is an apple and an orange, and the two halves don't fuse, that's exactly the Rambam Shita, that there's an inherent difference in the composition of the tefillah. And therefore you cannot go ahead and daven half a tefillah chova and a half a tefilas nedava. That's exactly the primary halacha of the Rambam, that you can't mix and match because there's an inherent difference between. You're not going to offer a karban and do a couple of lavolas as achatos and a couple of others as shalmei nedava. No, you can't go ahead and caravan and mix the tefilos in that fashion. Okay, that's the Rambam. What about when it comes to Mariv? Mariv is a tefilas nedava, rishus. And therefore, if Nisr Shekvar his fellow, keep on davening. So what's the kasha of the Ravid? Shaviyuala Kechova. What does Shaviyuala Kechova mean? What exactly does that mean? Let's assume, for example, a person makes a neder, or a person makes a shua, that every day he's going to offer a carbon nedava. Possible? Every day I'll offer a carbon adava. If I ask you, is that a carbon chova? It's still not a carbon chova. It doesn't have the halachos of a carbon chova. It is still a carbon adava. I'll tell you, yeah, but I have to offer it. You know what you're going to answer? Yeah, you took a neder, a shvua. There's a chovas hagavra to offer a karban nidava each and every day. But your shvua does not change the composition of the karban. The karban is not a chatos, it's not an ashram. The karban remains a karban nidava. Here Rav Chaim explains as well that that's exactly the Rambam Shita. Shavila kachova means that there's a chovas hagavra to daven a tfilas nidava each and every night. That's Shavuot Kechova. And therefore, even though Shavuot Kechova, you cannot equate Shachris Mincha with Mariv. Shachris Mincha inherently is a Tfilas Chova. Mariv is a Tfilas Rishus. Even though Klal Yisrael has accepted upon themselves, that's true. We've accepted upon ourselves to daven a daily Tfilas Nadava, but the tefillah remains a Tfilas Nadava. And therefore, exactly as the Rambam writes, that if a person realizes you're Daven Marev, you can continue, because the character, the nature, the composition of the tefillah is a Tfilas Nadava. And therefore, you can transition, even if Niskar Shekvar Hispala. Why doesn't the Ravid agree to all of this? Isn't that a clear difference? Shavila Kachova doesn't change the composition, but rather it just posits a personal obligation, because Rav Chaim explains that Ravid apparently is of the opinion that the difference between Chov and Adava is not inherent. The two is exactly the same. The words are identical. The difference between Chov and Adava is in terms of the Chova Sagavra. I must, as opposed to I may. And if that really is true, the Rabbi disagrees with that distinction of the Rambam, the Shavila Kechova, is only Alach and Gavra, not in Chetzah. The whole difference between Chova versus Nadava is just in terms of the Chovas HaGavra. Then Rav Chaim goes the next step. If that really is the reasoning of the Rabbi, that the difference between Chova and Nadava is I must, as opposed to I may, but inherently the tefillos are identical. Wait, man, you know what? Maybe when the Ravid comments, Ein kan nachas ruach, maybe the Ravid is not disagreeing with the exception of Mariv, but the Ravid is disagreeing with the very basic halach itself. Even in Shachris and Mincha, if a person nizkar shekvar hispalel, what's wrong with continuing? You're going to tell me it's apples and oranges? No, it's not apples and oranges. According to the Ravid Shita, the tefillah inherently is exactly the same. The only difference between Chov and Nedava is I must, I may, and what's wrong with a half a Chov and half a Nedava? The Rambam, you understand, because it's min v'sheino nino, but according to the Ravid, it's min benino, and therefore they perfectly blend. And therefore, Rav Chaim writes against the Kesef Mishnah, that when the Ravid writes Ein Kanachas Ruach, it's the opposite, no? The Kesef Mishnah assumes Ein Kanachas Ruach means that the Ravid says what is true of Shachris Mincha is also true of Mariv, and therefore stop in the middle. Rav Chaim explains that the Ravid is saying exactly the opposite, no? That what the Rambam writes of Mariv, you have a right to continue, is even true of Shachris Mincha, opposite extremes, in terms of those lines of the Ravid of Ein Kan Nachas Ruach. Now, it's a fascinating, fascinating machlokes. You know, we have the Hasagas of the Ravid on the Balamor. And if you look in the Gemara Brachos, on the Daf Erev, Daf Yud Gimel, that's where the Gemara says that halacha, that if a person realizes Niska Shekvar Hispala, Posek, he should stop. The Ravid has two words, and those two words indicate as Ruchaim. The Ravid writes the following. In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you realize, you daven, Posek, stop. The Rambam writes, the Ravid writes, Im Ratza. Im Ratza. If you want. If you want. In other words, the Ravid understood the Gemara Posek, Afilu Bemtza means, you don't have to continue. You don't have to continue. You can stop. Look, you're already where Yosei Tfila, so you can stop. But you can also continue. You can, there's nothing wrong with continuing. I'll tell you, there are two chidushim, right, in that Ravid. Number one is you see that the Ravid assumes there's nothing wrong with continuing. Ah, you'll tell me, what do you mean? How can you continue? Half was chova, half is nedava. You see, according to the Ravid, that really is not the case. The difference between chov and adav is you must, you may, but nothing wrong with continuing. It's a seamless transition. We don't argue it's min v'shein amino. I'll tell you chiddush number two. If you have a right to continue, why don't we say you must continue? Because now you have a half a shmoneh esrei, right? You know what you see according to the Ravid apparently also? Which I think is a machlokas rishonim. That a half a shmoneh esrei, you're not yotzei. You don't have to be yotzei because you already daven. Nisba shekar yisfalo. But a half a shmoneh esrei is not a brach levatalo. It's not levatalo. You may not be yotzei, but it's not levatalo. And therefore, the Ravid writes, you realize you're already davened. It's up to you. You can continue or you could stop. You could stop because what you daven is not a brach levatalo, and you can continue because there's nothing wrong with the mixed match of a tefillah schov and a tefillah sedava. That's exactly as Reb Chaim writes, according to the Ravid Shita, that they do blend, they do fuse. And the chiddush of the Ravid that's not considered to be right levatala. That's a fascinating machlokas. There was such a Magen Avraham, Tavkuf Tzadik Gimel, where the Magen Avraham writes a few brachos of a Shmoneh Esrei is not called a brach levatala. And there is a rush in Rosh Hashanah Dalet Yud Dalet where the rush seems to get that's not true. A half a Shmoneh Esrei is a brach levatala. It's a fascinating view. You know, a person doesn't have a sitter, and he doesn't know all Shmoneh Esrei by heart. So what exactly would you tell that person? No, daven what you know? You know a few of the brachos? Daven those brachos? Or would you say, no, don't even do that? No, it's a fascinating view. Well, one of the starting points is, you see, according to the Ravid Shita, that what do you mean? This is meaningful sheva for meaningful bakasha. If it doesn't culminate in a full Shmoneh Esrei, you're not going to be yotzei. But nonetheless, that which you davened is meaningful, it's meaningful, it's not levatala. And others would disagree and maintain that is not true. That's exactly why, because of the slumdus, that the Rambam writes that there are differences, not that there were differences. There are differences between Shachris and Mincha as opposed to Mariv. There are differences. Now you'll tell me, how can there be differences today? Kfar Shavila. Kechova. The answer is, yeah, Shavuot Kechova means that there's a Chovas HaGavra to daven a Tfilas Nadava, but it remains a Tfilas Nadava. You know, if there's no Chazaras HaShatz for a Tfilas Nadava, there's no Chazaras HaShatz for a Mariv, even though Shavuot Kechova. And if there's a certain leeway in the Zman Tfila, because something is Nadava, it doesn't have an exactly set, fixed time, so therefore, even Bizman Hazan, one can daven Maris somewhat early because Tfilah Sarvis is considered to be Rishus. And just as the Rambam writes, when it comes to Marav, Niska Shekvar Yispalo, continue to daven. Shavila Kechova. Yeah, Chol Es Agavet to daven at Tfilah Sadova. B'cholayla. But nonetheless, it remains inherently that which is considered to be a Tfilah Sadova. That's a fascinating biur that one finds in the Rambam sheet. That is an interesting Tosus. Brachos and Daf Dalid, where Tosus writes as follows, that you know, we're very makbid when it comes to Shachris and Smicha Eskul L'Tfilah. We don't have any interruption at all between Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei. What about when it comes to Mariv? Seemingly there are interruptions. We do have Hashkivenu, the Gemara calls that Gula Richta, okay? We have a Kaddish during that time. The Meg Ashkenaz, based on the Bali Atosus, to say Baruch Hashem Neolam, right? There are interruptions. Why exactly is that true? So Tosus writes in Brachos and Daf Dalet, because Tefillas Arvis is Rishus. Tefillas Arvis is Rishus. You know, the simple understanding of Tosus is, since Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, okay, so you don't have to be as meticulous, and therefore it's okay to add a Kaddish and add the Baruch Hashem Neolam, right? Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that if you look at it, it's also in Megillah, Dav Chav Gimel, you could understand this in a very, very different, in a very different way. They're told to bother and by the following. When it comes to Kriya Sartorva, what we do was not always the universal minhag. What we do is the following. But, you know, let's assume it's Shabbos. You're obligated to have seven aliyahs. So we have seven aliyahs. And then above and beyond the seven aliyahs, we have maftir. Maftir is in addition to. In addition to. Hi, there's a chiyuv of Shiva Krui, the seven aliyahs. You're right. You have the seven aliyahs. And then maftir. Maftir essentially is a hosafa. A hosafa. They'll tell you the policy in our shul is not to have hosafas. What do you do for maftir? No? If, for example, this would be a tainus sibur, where b'chol you're not allowed to have hosafos, so the last aliyah, b'chol v'asayom, becomes a maftir. You don't mean three aliyahs plus maftir. The shlishi is the maftir. But since on Shabbos, mi'ikr hadin, one could have a hosafa, so we have the kruim, and then we have an additional aliyah for the haftarah. And the chiddush is we do the same when it comes to yantif as well. Because mi'ikr hadin, we're assuming that even on yantif a person could have a hosafa. So therefore we have the five aliyahs, and now you have a sixth aliyah, the maftir. So in essence, that aliyah is considered to be a hosafa. So you know what? A person listens to Kriyas HaTorah in Shabbos, he listens to eight aliyahs. You tell the person, it's really not eight aliyahs. It's seven and one. A person hears six aliyahs and yantif. No, not really six aliyahs. It's five and one. It's seven, which is the Chov HaSiyom. It's five, which is the Chov HaSiyom. And now there is a hosafa. So Tosfos writes the following chiddush. What do we do to demonstrate that this is true? To demonstrate that this is true. That the Shiva Kruin is the Chov HaSiyom. And what follows is only a hosafa. So you know what Tosa says we do? Kaddish. Kaddish. That's why Kaddish is sandwiched in between those aliyahs. That was not always the minhag. But Tosa says that is our practice. Why do we have a Kaddish? To demonstrate, right, a shift. A shift. A transition. Rav Soloveitchik called that a Kaddish HaMaschil. It's interesting Kaddish. Now, we're used to a Kaddish HaMaschil that you always have to begin with a Kaddish. So we always introduce a Shmonesi with Kaddish. We also have a Kaddish HaGomer, a Kaddish HaMisayim, no? A Kaddish of Tiskar V'Tlosa. You know, you lose your minion, for example, in Chazaras HaShatz, you can still continue with the concluding Kaddish Tiskar V'Tlosa because that's seamless, no? That is considered to be the conclusion of. So you have a Kaddish HaMaschil, you have a Kaddish HaGomer, as Soloveitchik pointed out, sometimes you have a Kaddish HaMastik. Sometimes you have a Kaddish that indicates that, you know, you're shifting. You're shifting gears. You're going from the seven aliyahs, which is a chova, to the maftir, which is only a rishus, which is only considered to be a hosafa. And sometimes that's true. See, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that's the meaning of the tosos. No? When it comes to shachris, no, every shmonesrei, the Rambam writes, is preceded by a Kaddish. When it comes to shachris, you have a mitzvah of kriyushma, a chova, obviously. You have a mitzvah of shachris, a chova. And you have to have a kaddish before shmon esrei. So what exactly do you do? No? What do you mean? You have kriyushma, you have birkos kriyushma, you have shmon esrei, smichas, kula tefillah, there's an isser of hefsik, so you have no choice but the Kaddish is before Kriyashma Uberchoseha. That's the Kaddish HaMaschil. That's the Kaddish that is going to introduce the Tefillah Satziba. The Ram writes in Perek Tes, the Tefillah Satziba begins, right, already with the Kaddish. What about when it comes to Mariv? So here's what Rashi pointed out, the family Chiddush, it's not just simply the Tefillah Satziba is Rishus. So you know what? Since it's the Rishus, we can be Mekel and put the Kaddish closer to the Shmon Esrei. No, it's more than that. There's a mitzvah kriyashma over shachbacha. That's a mitzvah daraisa. That is an absolute chova. And now you're going from the kriyashma, which is a chova, to the Shmon Esrei, which is only a rishus. It's similar to kriyas haTorah, where you have the chova of the shiva kruim, and you have the maftir, which is a hosafa. How do you indicate that there isn't an equation, that you're shifting now by a Kaddish Hamafsik. So when Tosu says that the reason we have a Kaddish before Shemoneh Esrei Mavik, the Tefillah Service is Rishus, doesn't simply mean, it's a Rishus, so you know what, you can talk. No, it doesn't mean that. It means to indicate that it's a Rishus, one is required to have a Kaddish Hamafsik. And therefore you have a Kaddish. And if someone were to ask you, why isn't there a Kaddish in between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei and Shacharis, and there is a Kaddish in between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei and Maariv, you're going to tell me because Shacharis is a Chol, in Maariv is only a Rishus. And this is the need for the Kaddish Hamafsik. And that's the role of the Kaddish when it comes to Tfilas Arvis. That's a fascinating difference. And the second point, also fascinating, is not that these were nafkaminas. These are differences. These really are differences. Because even though this is our typical practice, but as the Rambam writes, b'chetza, this remains a tfilas rishus, and shavila kachova just simply means there's a chovas nedava to daveni, tfilas nedava, each and every night. It's a beautiful difference between the gavra and chetza shava. Now that there's a chovas hagavra, but the tfila remains inherently a tfilas rishus, and therefore that can account for all of those differences. Rav Sevin has a beautiful sefer which is called Ishim Vishitos. It's part of the biography of many Gedolei Yisrael, and then he cites examples of their Derech HaLimud by illustration. So in the piece of Rav Chaim, he quotes this Rav Chaim as like a classic. Now, a difference between Alochin Gavra and Alochin Chetza in the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, how you understand the difference between Shacharis Mincha as opposed to Maariv. We'll have to discuss maybe in the subsequent shiurim, like many other differences between Maariv as opposed to Shacharis and Mincha, but these are a few that the Rambam writes explicitly, indicating that even Bizman Hazeh, the service is considered to be inherently Rishus, and even though the Rambam writes, we're obligated to daven, yes, we took upon ourselves to daven a Tfilas Nedava each and every month.
First year gave, I'm trying to remember, we were talking about how many years ago, so we couldn't remember. We remember that, you know, when you gave it the first time in Rome,
right.
Monday night, but then
that was part of Sosefes,
right?
That's the show of Sosefes,
right? It's any time,
right?
It's a few years ago.
Yeah.
Has a family, yeah. Is it?